May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Over the last couple of days, I saw twice, well, almost twice, a little less, this episode of The American Experience on PBS called The Poison Squad. Anybody see it? Nobody saw it? Okay. Well, The Poison Squad is the story about Dr. Harvey Wiley and his fight to have healthy food without these poisonous preservatives and with clean conditions in preparing the food and truth in labeling. He was active in this quest for his entire life. And he would fight the Congress so that they might pass laws to prevent some of these wrongs. But because of lobbyists and big businesses who were profiting by adding these poisonous chemicals like formaldehyde, salicylic acid, benzoic acid, copper sulfate, and other things to our food, because they gave money to the members of Congress, Congress wouldn't listen to Dr. Wiley. He had small successes, but he really had a fight for every single one. He eventually got a lab in the basement of the Department of Agriculture, where he did these chemical tests. And he decided to form what later became known as the Poison Squad. The Poison Squad were 12 young men, all civil servants, who believed they all had ironclad stomachs, who volunteered for his experiments. The experiments included 3 free meals a day and $5 a month. Well, that may not sound like a lot today, but it sure was back then. And hundreds of men showed up to try out to be on this squad. Ultimately, he chose 12, kind of like the 12 disciples, I guess, and he did his experiments with them. At each meal, he added 1 known toxin. Well, at least he knew they were toxins. And of course, the manufacturers knew they were toxins, but the people didn't know they were toxins. And he would try out a different amount each day, disguising it in the milk, in the butter, in different kinds of food. And then the men were tested. They got blood work, urine analysis, stool samples. Their weight was taken. And of course, they were asked how they were feeling. They even had to breathe into this tube for 3 hours each day. Ultimately, 6 of the 12 backed out of the experiments, but 6 remained till the end, and none of them died from the experiments. Dr. Wiley's work, along with other movements that were going on in the country, like the suffragettes working to get the vote for women, as well as the writing of the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, who talked about the meatpacking industry, all these things came together to make the country aware of what was going on. He made great strides, and ultimately laws were passed to protect our food. And the Food and Drug Administration was put in charge of it. So he is remembered and renowned for fighting that our food be safe. Now, what's fascinating is that despite the proof he had from test after test after test, despite all his research as a chemist, it was so hard to convince the powers that be to work on behalf of the people, not their positions of power, not for what they wanted, but to see that people were safe when formerly people were dying because of the toxins in the food, the preservatives that were placed within them. Why was it so hard to do what it was right, to do what was right for the people to survive? Because of self-interest. Greater self-interest than human interest. And that brings us to today's gospel lesson, which is Matthew's version, probably the most famous version, of what are known as the Beatitudes. That is, statements of blessing. Now, Jesus is just beginning his ministry. And like Moses on Mount Sinai, Jesus goes up the mountain to teach both his disciples and the crowd gathered around them. Both Moses and Jesus revealed things from the mountain. Moses, of course, brought down the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. And Jesus gave these words, the Beatitudes. We're told that when he got up the mountain, he sat down. Now, sitting down is the posture of a rabbi when he teaches. So by Jesus sitting, he's letting everybody know he's about to teach them some new things. He begins with these four statements. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He's talking about conditions within people. Some people are poor in spirit, meaning that they might be poor materially, they might be poor relationally, they might be poor spiritually, but in some way, they are lacking. In some way, they don't have what they need. And Jesus basically says, for those, God is present. God is with you. He goes on to talk about those who are in mourning. Well, it was a time of much oppression. The Romans were oppressing the Jewish people. But also by the time Matthew was writing, the non-Christian Jews were attacking the converted, the Christian Jews. So they were being oppressed as well. And Jesus is telling those who are mourning the things that they lost, the things that they used to love, that they no longer have. Jesus is telling them that God will comfort them. The meek, those who are lowly, those who have no voice of their own, but they need someone to speak on their behalf, they will inherit the earth. They will also get to know God in their time on earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that is, for what is right, for what is just, like Dr. Wiley. For they will see results. They will be filled. So these first four are about conditions of people. Poor, grieving, lowly, hoping for justice. In fact, that's what the Beatitudes really are, statements of hope. Statements that saying, hold on, God knows your plight. God will bring you what you need. And then there's the next four. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are statements for the doers, those who are working to make their fellow human beings be able to acquire what they need. Those who offer forgiveness will find that when they're in need of forgiveness, it will be given to them. Those who have one focus, the pure in heart, whose minds are fixed on God, they will see God both in their actions and through the actions of other believers. They will see God at work. Those who make peace, not war, they will be called children of God, just as Jesus is the Son of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted. That's a hard one. But basically, Jesus is saying if you're fighting for the right, you might very well receive a lot of resistance, again, like Dr. Wiley. But again, God is with you. And as a continuation of that eighth beatitude, Jesus changes his words slightly from "blessed are the" to "blessed are you." When people revile you and persecute you, say all kinds of bad things about you, tell lies about you, rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great. God is most assuredly working through you. God is most assuredly blessing you. Because this is just what happened with the prophets who were before you. That's right, Jesus is saying, if your condition is such that you are despairing, that you are going without, or if your condition is such that you are striving to help others with everything you've got, God is reigning in your heart. The Beatitudes aren't so much rules, like the Ten Commandments were rules. It's not so much, well, if you do this, then you'll get that. Rather, they're statements of the way things are for some people, and the assurance that despite conditions, God sees, God knows, God is there. Of course, the reverse is also true. That if you are comfortable now, you're not going to be so comfortable later. If you're satisfied now, you'll find yourself wanting later. If you're not about caring for your neighbor's unlikely to care about you. If you're not fighting for justice, how can there be justice in the world? So Jesus is making a case for those who are losing hope, either in Jesus' time because of Rome's oppression, or in Matthew's time because of the persecution of the new Christians. Jesus is making the case that all is not lost, despite what may seem as terrible conditions, losing conditions. Jesus is saying, no, on the contrary, you are the ones who are truly blessed. God sees and God is with you. So for us in our day and age, when we continue to see people living by the opposite of the Beatitudes and seeing what results from that kind of behavior, these blessing statements are reminders of what is all meaningful to God, of what God cares about. And when we're doing these things, we may not even realize it, but when we're about the things that God cares about, our relationship with God will acquire a depth that we had not known before. We may not be looking for it, but suddenly we'll realize that it is there. That because of the Spirit working in us and through us, God is most assuredly living and active in our lives. May we be found to have at least one of these qualities that Jesus speaks about. And we will find that in the end, we really have all that we need. Amen.